two more questions, this being the second one, and one more after this so far that I need to answer. And thankful for the question and the opportunity tonight to be able to consider some thoughts. And tonight we want to do our best to answer the question that was asked. Tonight's question revolves around the Word of God and its uniqueness, its place today. Let me read you the question as it was given to me, and then we'll open our time in a word of prayer. Here's the question. In our society, we come across many people who may not accept the Bible as the inspired Word of God. I believe this is an obstacle that we must overcome if we are to be an effective witness. Can you review the characteristics that make the Bible unique in our world's literature and support our faith in its authorship and authority? That's a good question. Let's bow together, please, in a word of prayer, and then we'll try to help and answer this question tonight. Father, we thank you for the opportunity tonight to be able to look at and consider the question as it's been asked tonight. I pray that, Lord, you would help us to see the wonderful beauty of the Word of God, that which sets it apart from all other literature. Oh, Lord, it is not just any book. It is the greatest book to ever be written, the greatest book that we can have in our libraries, in our possession, the one that demands our time, our attention, and our careful study. Lord, I pray that you would now teach us and help us in the moments that we have to consider such a question as this. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There was another part to this question that I know I'm not going to have time to get to. It has to deal with the canon of Scripture and why certain books belong to the canon of Scripture and some didn't make that. And I know that just from the first part of that question, it's going to take me the rest of the time to get through that. So I may be able to get into that next week. We'll wait and see. But the reality, I want to get to the question, which is simply this: what makes our Bible unique in our world's literature today? And as we do that, I want to look at four basic thoughts that I think help us to understand why the Word of God is unique. What makes it so special? What makes it different from any other book that we might even possess? There are a lot of good books that have been written, but nothing compares to the Word of God. The Word of God is central. It should be primary. It ought to be that which draws your attention, that you ought to give to it, to study, to make sure you understand in every part. What makes the Word of God unique? Well, even within the question, two of the statements that we're going to make tonight were in the question. I want to begin with the very first one, and that is this. What makes the Bible unique? The authorship of the Bible makes it unique from all other literature. That which sets the Word of God apart is the fact that the author of the Scripture is God Himself. When you and I come to the pages of the Word of God, we call it that for a reason, we are coming to read the very words of God. He, as the author, wrote this book. There are some men that I enjoy reading. There are some men, if they would write a book, I would probably purchase it and add it to my library. But even those men that I enjoy reading, I always read with caution because I don't always agree. But when I come to the Word of God, I find a book that is unique because I understand who the author of this book is. And the author of the Bible is none other than God Himself. Now, I realize that's not a new concept to any of us tonight. Matter of fact, you might have thought that might have been the first thing on your list. What makes the Word of God unique? Well, God wrote this book. It's not a concept that is new to us, but I'll be honest with you. I think it's a concept that gets lost with us. You say, Pastor, how do we get lost in the fact that God wrote the book? Folks, when you devalue the Word of God and place it in any place lower than anything else, you have forgotten the uniqueness of this book and the author who wrote it. If you sit there and say, well, I don't really need the Bible, I need something else, there's this book, there's this author, you don't understand how unique a privilege it is that you have before you the Word of God. For the very God of heaven and earth is the author of the Bible. We don't have a book written simply from the mind of men. We have a book written from the mind and heart of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 reminds us, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. In theological terms, we say that we believe both in the verbal and the plenary inspiration of the Bible. What's that mean when we say the verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible? Verbal's not too hard. Every word. What's plenary mean? I mean, if you looked at our Constitution, I think it says we believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Scripture. What's it mean that we believe in the verbal plenary inspiration? Inspiration is God-breathed. Verbal is every word. What's plenary deal with? Or is that just a big word that we like to throw around to make us look smart? The idea there is, folks, every thought. This doesn't come from anyone but God. Every word and every thought comes to us from God. The origin of the thoughts, the words of Scripture come from God. Now, on a weekly basis, I write to some degree or another. I write sermons. Where do those thoughts come from? I like to tell you it always comes from me, but it doesn't. You know what? Sometimes it's as I'm reading God's Word and God draws a thought out to me, or as I'm reading a passage and I'm doing some study and someone else brings out a thought to me and God takes that and it begins. But folks, my thoughts come from some other source. You realize when you read the Word of God, what you're reading are the very thoughts and words of Almighty God. What makes this book unique is the author of the Word of God. Look at 2 Peter 1, verse 21. Again, familiar passage when it comes to the inspiration of Scripture. But again, it's a good reminder from us, for us tonight. The Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, did not come to us from the mind of man. They come from the mind of God. It says, verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible is unique because God, who is Spirit, far above us, His thoughts higher than ours, His ways past finding out, the Infinite One has communicated to us His heart, His words, His desires. And He used human instruments to pen down for us those words, those thoughts, that we might be able to read them and study them. There is no other book that can make the claim that it is God-breathed, God-authored. The God who created heaven and earth by spoken word has recorded His words for us, and they are to us life. He has given to us His word. What makes the Bible unique? Well, the authorship of the Bible makes it unique. There's a second thing I want you to consider. What makes the Word of God unique today above any other piece of literature that we have? It's not only its authorship, but I want you to also notice with me that the Word of God is unique because of its authority. The Word of God is unique because of the authority that it has. Because the Bible is the Word of God, it has the right to claim authority in every area of your life. Every area. Matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we're reminded that the Word of God is quick. It is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It is able to pierce through and divide asunder the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God has the right to determine what we do and how we live. It is powerful. It authoritative. No other book can make the claims of authority that the Bible makes. Let me make a couple thoughts or comments in relation to the claims of its authority. Number one, the Bible claims the authority to have the power to save from sin. The Bible has the power, the authority within its words to save from sin. Go to Romans chapter 10 tonight. Romans chapter 10. No other book, no religious book written by man can make this claim. It doesn't have the authority, but the Word of God does. Look at what it says. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now notice verse 14. Salvation is granted to all who call. How then shall they call upon him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See the connection? No other book can proclaim or claim the authority to save you from sin. But the Bible makes that claim, that it has the authority to save a sinner. If you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. How can someone believe? How can they call? Where do they get that truth from? The Word of God alone. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It's unique because it has the authority to claim the power to save. The Bible also is unique and has the authority to claim the power to cleanse and keep us from sin. Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy law. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You realize the Bible claims the authority and the power to keep us and cleanse us from sin. What keeps you and me from falling into the mire of sin? What keeps us from going down that path which would destroy the life? Because sin, when it's finished, always brings forth death. What protects us from that? Your human effort? Your good works? Your wisdom? No. It's as we take heed to the Word of God. What protects your family from falling apart as you take heed to the Word of God? What keeps your marriage strong as you take heed to the Word of God? What allows you to raise up your children in such a way that they will follow the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of their life? It's as you take heed to the Word of God. You set aside the Word of God, and there may be trouble, but the Bible says it can keep you from sin. And when we do sin, the Word of God has the power to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. Understand the claim that the Word of God is making and the authority that it has. Next, the Bible has the power to direct us in the ways of righteousness. The Bible has the power to direct
our steps. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. The Bible tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God has promised to guide us with our own eye, his own eye. How does he do that? Through his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto our path. Those who don't have the word of God live in darkness. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, that men walk in darkness. But you are children of light. So therefore walk in the light as he is in the light. You and I can walk in the light of the word of God. It will direct us. It's a lamp unto our feet. Next, let me just mention this, that the Bible has the authority and the power to illuminate our understanding. It gives us understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We don't have the time tonight to look at all the verses, but really, if you read verses 1 through 16, you're going to find this truth, that things are spiritually discerned. There is the process we call illumination. As the Spirit of God opens our understanding through His Word. Paul, in writing to the church of Corinth, teaches them that that spiritual understanding is obtained as the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and switches on the light, so to speak. It gives us spiritual understanding. The idea of the word illuminate is to enlighten, to clarify, to make us understand what we would not otherwise understand. But God is able to illuminate our minds. Do you ever just not understand what's taking place? You ever come to a passage of the Word of God and just not understand what it really means? I have always marveled as I do book studies, as I prepare messages. There's always a point in any book study that you come to a passage and you just have to say, what does Paul mean by that? What did Peter really want to get? That just, wow. Where's Isaiah going here? You don't get it. Now, I have a library full of books that are supposed to help me with that. You know what happens every time I go to them? They skip over those verses. I thought, you cowards. Way to not be a help to me. I was looking for some help. So I grab the next one. It's not there. I go, none of them have it. I say, well, I guess I could just skip it and move on. And maybe no one will ask. But then I always feel like that's not really a legitimate reason for me to skip over it. Well, how do we get to understand what that means? Well, we have to seek the Lord and allow Him to open the eyes of our understanding. And as we seek Him through His Word, the Bible says God will illuminate us. How wonderful it is when you and I live in days of confusion to be able to come to the Word of God and there to find the help that we need. And here we are struggling with things in life and we're wondering what to do. And as we read God's Word, all of a sudden it like pops out at you and it's like, there it is. There's your answer. Wow. And you know what? You may have read that 50 times before but never saw that. But the Spirit of God opens your understanding. Now, I gotta be honest with you. I've been forced to read Shakespeare. Never once had that experience with him. Wow, that was great, Will! Never had that thought in my life. I usually... why is my teacher making me read this? I've read a lot of different books by a lot of different authors, some who are really good. I've never had that experience in a book. But I've had it in the Word of God. It's a wonderful blessing. And God's Word has the authority to illuminate us and to help us understand. It's got the power to open your understanding. I don't think any other book can make that claim. Why is the Bible unique? Because of its authorship. I think the Bible's unique because of its authority. Third, I think the Bible's unique because of its arrangement. The arrangement of the Bible. Before you tonight, you have the Word of God that has stood the test of time. It has stood the test of all scrutiny. What makes this book so unique? What am I talking about in its arrangement? Well, first of all, I want you to understand this. The Bible that you hold tonight is, first of all, supernatural in character. What we have is a supernatural book. The more one studies the Bible and the more one understands the Bible, this truth is clearly seen. You understand how your Bible was written. Written over a period of about 1,500 years. God used 40 different authors to bring together this one single book. It is one book that is really compiled of 66 different books. And with those things, written during different political climates, in differing locations, different generations, you look at your Bible and there is one unified message without contradiction. That's amazing. I'm trying to get a thought here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 30, about 31. We're a little bit short of 40. I don't think we could do that over a span of 1 year. Let over 1,500. We all basically share the same culture. They didn't. We all live in the same time period. They didn't. One unified message from Moses and Job to John. In that span of time, God has put this book together in a wonderful way. Let me give you an example. The first book probably written was the book of Job. In the book of Job, in chapter 19, verse 25, Job writes and says, "I know my Redeemer liveth." That's an interesting statement. That was written 1,500 years before Christ came to earth. And Job says, "I know my Redeemer liveth." John closes the book of the Revelation 70 years after Christ leaves the earth and says he knows that the living Redeemer is coming quickly. I think that's interesting. Both understand there's a living Redeemer. Both knew him personally. That's a long span of time, though, folks, between those two statements for them both to agree. And yet you find that over and again. But the second thing I want you to know about the arrangement of the Bible, not only is it supernatural, but it also is natural in character. Say, "Pastor, what do you mean by that?" God used human instruments to communicate to mankind according to the basic laws of communication. And God did so by means of inspiration. Holy men of God spake as they were moved. But they used their natural ways of communicating in their various styles. Paul was a scholar. And he wrote as a scholar. Luke was a medical doctor. So when you come to the book of Luke, you find him using medical terms. In the Gospels, the statement of the Lord that would say that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eyes of a needle than a rich man to enter into heaven. Luke uses the term for the needle that was a medical term. The medical needle used. None of the other men used that term. Why? Because that wasn't in their line of work or understanding. They might use a needle that would be to mend a net. But Luke used the term a needle that would mend a life. A man. God used his different skill sets and their different ways. God used them to communicate to men in the language of their day so that their needs were be met spiritually for the day. And he continues to use men today and his word. That's what makes the word of God so wonderful, so beautiful. Consider this. Since the invention of the printing press, the Word of God has been translated into 1,400 different languages, has been sent to every part of the globe. Consider the fact that this book, which is over 3,500 years old, is still one of the most widely published books in our world today. That should not be, but it is. Why? Because the Word of God is unique. One final thought. The Word of God is unique because of the authenticity of the Bible. The authenticity of the Bible. We realize the Bible has stood the test of time. We just mentioned that. But it's also been done under intense scrutiny. And yet it has always been found to be true. Although widely distributed, the Bible has also been the book greatly attacked. Consider some thoughts with me. It has been burned, banned, criticized, perverted. Yet the fact remains that the Bible today still exists in the same form as it did when it was originally written. Say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because the Lord Jesus said not one jot or tittle would fall from his law. He has promised to preserve it for every generation. It's authentic. I know I hold before me the Word of God. I don't question that. I don't fear that. It has been proven authentic. The question is, why has it been under such scrutiny? Why so many attacks? Let me close with two thoughts in this. First of all, the Bible has been under such scrutiny and been under such attack because the Bible claims to be the Word of God. Throughout the pages of the Bible, you will find statements that assert the fact that the words that we read are the words of God. Phrases such as this: the Lord spake unto, the Word of God came. You will find a phrase like that over 2,000 times in the Bible. Divine authorship is also mentioned. We've already talked about this, that the words that we read come directly from God. That's why it's been under such scrutiny. But it's also been proven to be true. And that's the second point. The Bible has proven to be the Word of God. The reason it continues to receive such scrutiny is because not only does it claim to be, but the enemy knows that it's been proven to be the Word of God. You say, Pastor, how could you make a statement that the Word of God or the Bible is proven to be the Word of God? How do you know that? I know that from a couple ways, two ways basically. Number one, I know that the Bible, the Word of God, is God's Word because of the way it touches and the way it transforms a life. I want you to think about a couple people with me. I want you to think about Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was a baseball player, but he was also a good-for-nothing drunk baseball player. But the Word of God transformed Billy Sunday's life and transformed him from a drunken baseball player to a powerful evangelist used to bring many to the gospel. What about John Newton? John Newton was a slave trader. John Newton was considered to be, by other slave traders, the worst of worst among men. He was a vile and wretched man. Yet God saved him and transformed his life, and we still enjoy now to sing the world over, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now found, was blind, but now I see. The Word of God transforms a life. And you can look the world over and find many a person transformed by the power of the Word of God. And that's how I know it's true. By the way, I don't find that with those who follow the Book of Mormon. I don't find that in those who read the Quran. I find that to those who come to the Word of God and how it transforms a life for good. I also know it's the Word of God because I can consider what it's done in my own life. It's because of the Word of God that you and I were saved from an eternity in hell and given a home in heaven. No other book has the power to turn a sinner to a saint. No other book can transform a man's life as the Bible has transformed our own lives. I can see the effects of the Word of God in my life, day by day and moment by moment. I can see the effects when it's not there as it should be in my life, and I can see the effects of it when it is there in my life. I can see how it transformed the people to whom I minister to. I can see how it works in the lives of my family, my children, my wife. I can see all of those things and I watch it take place. So I know the Bible is true. And so do you. And so does anyone who comes to the Word of God. It's authentic. It's the real deal. It is the truth, the only truth. And that's what sets it apart from every other book. Great question. What makes the Word of God unique? Its author makes it unique. Its authority makes it unique. Its arrangement and how it's been put together makes it unique. And the fact that it is authentic, it is what it claims to be, sets it apart. You and I have before us a great and wonderful blessing in the Word of God. Again, I don't think anything that we share tonight is new to anyone here. I probably could have quizzed you on most of that and you'd have gotten all those answers tonight. But I do think these truths get lost in our daily lives. And the Word of God too often gets devalued in us. Whether that be in our married life, whether that be in our relationships with our children, in our training, and the direction that they ought to go, whether that be in interpersonal relationships within the church, and dealing with issues like forgiveness and laying aside bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and being kind one to another, tenderhearted. Whether it be in relationships at work. No matter what it might be that we are going through, the truth gets lost. And how valuable to us is the Word of God. 2 Peter 1:3 makes it very clear. God has given us all that we need in His Word for life and godliness. And contained within it are the precious promises of His Word that we can rest in and trust in and build our lives in. Folks, don't devalue God's Word. Hold it high. Take heed unto it in every part. And don't get caught in the trap of, well, that really doesn't matter. Well, the Bible might say that, but. Don't ever put that but there. Thus saith the Lord, put a period. Don't ever put a comma and a but and come up with your own solution. It only leads to trouble. Before you is a book unique. Love it. Read it. Study it. Live by it. For the glory of God and your own personal benefit and blessing. Father, thank you for our time tonight. Thank you for the question that we've been able to consider. Bless, Lord, tonight as we're dismissed and as we go. Watch over us and keep us. Bring us back Sunday again to worship and study your word in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.